This is the Closet Geek episode 101 for October 10th, 2015.
Oh, sorry.
Cuckoo clock.
To you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hey guys, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out, the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my four brothers, or
three.
It feels like I have a fourth brother.
Wow.
But three brothers, Ryan, John, and Michael.
Hey everybody.
And it feels like I have a fourth brother here. Because we have a special guest with us. We have Mark Meir here in the house. How's it going, Mark?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, we're super excited to have you here. And, you know, it's a great honor, I would have to say.
So. Well, I am honored.
It is.
It's awesome. So, sweet. Well, let's go to the first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is This Week in Geek, where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, things we love, and things we could recommend for you guys to check out. So, John, why don't you start off this week? What did you do geeky? Hopefully you did something.
Well, you know, I did watch episode one of the new season of Flash. So that was pretty cool. It's kind of off to a good start.
I like it. I like that they're like, well, we're not going to explain exactly, and we jump a year into the future.
Right,
so everything's...
they kind of jumped like a year ahead of where the final episode is.
Still on my DVR. Yeah. Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, no, no, that doesn't ruin anything. What's nice is they did the same thing in Arrow.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, so I watched that, and it was a show full of a lot of emotional, you know, good feelings, because he's trying to, you know, deal with what he had to go through in the finale of last season, and I'm trying
and
not
trying to
give
to
away
as general.
I think it was done really well. I'm looking forward to the new season, and of course, you know, I mean, if anybody's kind of followed the news of what to expect in this new season, then you know that they're going to be introducing a lot of the other speedsters from the DC universe, some of the other Flashes, and like the female speedster—I can't remember what her name is—but then like the
Zoom.
No, that's the big bad. That's the big bad for this season is
right.
Zoom. So yeah, so they kind of, you know, hinted at some of those things, but mm-hmm. You see, I think I'm still I'm all cut up with Doctor Who. I'm really enjoying
new
season.
To watch
the new
really
Doctor. I've heard a lot of good things.
I haven't watched today's episode, so no spoilers on that one, please.
Oh, no.
I haven't watched today's episode yet, but I was looking forward to it. But
I got caught up with Doctor Who as well this week. I watched all of the new ones for this season thus far, except for today's.
I am so far behind. I'm still with Matt Smith.
Oh,
that's where I am.
Okay.
I'm really
I didn't watch last week, so I need to watch last week's as well.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying Peter Capaldi and his take on the talk. I enjoy it. Other than that, the Star Wars Battlefront beta is going currently. We actually posted some videos on Closet Geek page, kind of fun.
That Luke Skywalker one is going viral.
The one where he gets stomped on by.
I know, it's like the AT-AT, boom, and he's like, it's like, oh.
And like the guy's looking around, it's like,
I know, it's like right, it's like really, and then the second leg comes and steps on him.
It was pretty
so is that an open beta?
I mean, anybody that has a PS4 or Xbox One or a PC can join in and play. I think it's running through the weekend. So
okay.
You can still get in and play. And one thing that I've really enjoyed is that the PS4 version, I can do, there's one of the missions that you can run, which actually allows you to do co-op split screen. And so I was really excited about that because then I can sit on the cap, you know, with my son and play Star Wars together and not have to have like two separate boxes in two separate rooms, and we can play together. Mm-hmm. That was cool. So I was, I'm excited about that aspect of it. But other than that, Oh, I finally saw Age of Ultron.
Okay. Finally?
It's only out on video now.
I know.
What?
I rented it from Redbox.
Oh, good job. You didn't just buy it?
I haven't purchased it yet. I was like, come on, it's available.
I'm not sure
I gotta watch
it.
I have no excuses anymore.
I had to
get that stamp on my geek card. So there you go. So
it's
that
too
done.
Late. It doesn't count anymore.
Your review is.
Well, what's funny is that I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's another one that I've been keeping up on.
Yeah.
And they keep referring to things that happen in the movie. And I'm like, okay, we have to go see it. We have to see it. So finally, it was in Redbox. I'm like, okay, no excuses. $2. Yeah, it's all good. So, yeah.
And I thought I was behind on movies.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have 5 kids at home, movies are not, something that you go and do.
That's true. That's true.
Valid point, sir.
All right. Mike, what'd you do geeky this week?
Sure. You know, I pulled an all-night LARP. I pulled an all-night LARP. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Did it
Man, well, I play an archer, as everybody's probably seen the Closet Geek Facebook page, my archer that I made.
Oh, yeah. That was
but
good.
During the night, my arrows have UV reactant paint on it, so I pull out my UV light to gather them up. But as I gather them, of course, I'm squatting down, picking it up, putting it in my quiver, and so forth. By the end of the night, my legs were so sore because I had to keep squatting down, picking it up, and it got to the point where I'm like, Can you pick up my arrow for me? I can't bend over anymore.
Awesome.
But
grab it for me, and I'll save your life.
Yeah, it was funny. However, I did once again pull off a couple of epic shots. Nighttime. It was 1:30 in the morning. Moonlight only. Everybody was like, "What's going on?" They knew the big bad nasty was over there because he was wearing a glowing headband, so we could spot him. And I was like, "Oh, there's a glowing headband." Bam, 45 feet away in the dark, and everybody's like, what was that? I don't know, but it fell over. And I'm like, bah, 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 killing shot. Yeah, so it was pretty awesome. I was like, I felt
good
pretty
job,
good. Man. Yeah.
So, Mark, have you ever done any LARPing?
I have, actually. I have not fantasy LARPing, but I actually play a annual Call of Cthulhu-based LARP.
Ooh, I still have all those Call of Cthulhu books for the live action.
Nice.
Yeah, this one, the one that I play isn't actually based on that. It's some friends of mine have made up their own system. They have a group called Wraith, and they also do Cthulhu movies. They actually won the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival Award last year, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And,
I've seen their film then. That's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. theirs is called Vomica. It's like a World War II setting with the Lovecraftian elements.
That's
So is that like a weekend event, or you said it's once a year, so how does that work out?
Well, they actually do more than one a year, but I'm usually over there once a year, so I can play with them once a year. But
you're a busy man.
These guys, they put a lot of effort into their games, and it's like being in an improvised horror movie with like props and I once got to play in the actual bunker that the British government would have been housed in if there'd been a nuclear war in the 1950s. And it's a museum. But they're friends with the owner. We were able to play it after hours, like in the actual bunker. It's an amazing, amazing game. And cool. It's not open to the public. Like it's friends doing it.
Invitation only. Right.
Yeah. I'm a huge
I fly to England for that.
Fan. So,
yeah,
seriously,
right?
I'm a huge H.P. Lovecraft fan. I in the the, as I said, I had the LARP books that they made back in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I ran some games that were just the same way, where everybody had to jump in cars and go from location to location and do this big investigation. Lots of fun. It's never, you know, never a dull moment when you can make a person cry out of fear. You're like, yes, storyteller job done. So, yeah, pretty awesome. So, yeah, achievement. Bing. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I really enjoyed LARPing this week. SLC Anime Met. We reviewed our show. It got a 7.5 for the From the New World. Awesome show. 25 episodes, so kind of long. It was kind of a utopian / dystopian sci-fi.
Utopian dystopian.
I know it's really honestly a difficult. It's a difficult show to explain, but it's really about just discovering human nature and really a psychological thriller show. So it's it got a lot of great reviews. So a lot of people liked it. Yeah, so there's like four or five other series I finished that I won't go into this week.
Thank you.
Been doing S.H.I.E.L.D. You're welcome. You're welcome. I know nobody in this room cares, but I do. Somebody out there.
I care a little bit. We know that some of our listeners are big anime people.
That's true.
But
however,
Michael
always chooses the weird ones to watch.
Yeah.
What?
Ones nobody's ever heard of.
Hey, just because I just recently watched, what is it called? Is It Wrong to Try and Pick Up Girls in Dungeons? That's the title of the show. It's so funny. And what's funny is it has nothing to do with what the title of the show is. It's great. S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 has been awesome. Gotham Season 2 has been awesome. Gosh, you know, Doctor Who, all the shows. I've been really keeping up on those. But, of course, as I mentioned, I haven't hit last week's Doctor Who. Boom. I'll just stop there, you know. So,
please do.
Huge sword competition today. That went really awesome. So
cool.
It was like a 10-hour day for me doing sword judging. So I got to piss off people when they didn't like the way I called it.
What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
I totally hit him. It's like, you know, luckily though, honestly, people didn't really argue. I just joke about it, but
like, I'll totally hit you.
Yeah, it was a really cool day because we had 26 participants, regional tournament. We had the United Clan Swordsman Association, True Edge, and the Noble Science Academy from Reno. And so we had a lot of people there from
three different
organizations within the HEMA Alliance. So
that's awesome.
Our next goal is to do a Rocky Mountain convention / tournament so we can bring in, you know, a more of an international crowd. It'll be awesome.
Sweet. Mark, what'd you do geeky this week?
Well, the geekiest thing I did this week was work on my geeky TV show, Tiny Plastic Men.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
We'll talk about it. Plug away.
We want to hear
that. Yeah, we're currently doing season 4. So our fans in America can watch us on Hulu. We've got all 3 seasons up on Hulu. The 4th is being filmed right now. We've got pretty heavy posts, so I wouldn't think that 4th season will be ready until early 2016. But we'll be shooting until the end of the month. So this week I spent dressed up as Cthulhu and also as Dr. Von Chaos, who's sort of my loving tribute to Dr. Doom, who is actually, he showed up in sketches in the early days of our shows and then sort of gradually just got integrated into the main continuity to the point where he's now dating the boss of our main characters. So he's just sort of like in the character.
Alexandra
Gottfried, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we established him in the show as he is a supervillain and he is a dictator of a third world country somewhere in Europe. And so now he is also just like a regular character on the show that shows up.
That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I noticed that the Dr. Von Chaos, you see snippets of him in the closing sequence as early as season 1, episode 3, but he was never actually in the show that I could spot at that point.
He does show up in one episode in season 1 and in a couple of comedy sketches. And I think those sketches are actually up on YouTube. I think they're called Arch Enemies with Benefits, and and the other one's called Supervillain Team Up.
Yeah,
nice.
That's so awesome.
Page Master Jim in the chat says, dressing like Cthulhu is what Mark calls Thursdays.
It's true, yeah. Although I think we actually did that on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. It started with a T.
I was
going
to do it on Thursday, but my costume was at the studio, so you know I'll have to reschedule. So, yeah, that's been my week is working on Tiny Plastic Man.
Awesome.
And, of course, we have lots of geeky sketches, especially we're bringing back a plot line from last year. There was an episode called Crisis on Infinite Octobers. My character is named October. And we have established that he is a time traveler from the year 13 million in the second season. In the third season, we established that not only that, he's from an alternate future. So he's actually from a parallel world. And there have been a number of Octobers in this, the Prime Universe, and they've been sort of killed off and replaced by the other Octobers. And there was an evil, a truly evil version of October who nearly succeeded in destroying the multiverse last season. It was basically,
yes.
It was basically our Crisis on Infinite Earth.
I remember that one. That was a great episode. Where you played the female October, yes?
Yes, she's from the Rule 63 universe.
I was mentioning to my brothers, I was like, we get to interview October in October. Epic.
That's true. So, yeah, in that episode, all the infinite universes were pared down to six universes. Basically, at the end of it, all the universes had been destroyed except six. And they were the Rule 63 universe, where everyone's gender is reversed, the ape universe, where everyone is an ape. A dark future one, and the high school French universe where everyone just speaks high school French.
Oh, not fluent French, but high school French.
High school French. That's right.
That's awesome.
And there's also there's a steampunk universe. We've established that as well.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's where Golden Age October is from.
Oh, there you go. Golden Age October. Yeah,
nice.
I like October is definitely one of my favorite characters in the show. Just he's so cool and just collected all the time. It's just funny.
Well, thanks. Yeah. He owes much to Spock, let's face it.
There you go.
And I've been putting in 12 to 14 hour days on Tiny Plastic Men all week. But in the meantime, I've also been catching up on some shows, like Before I Collapse after coming home. I managed to catch up on Fear the Walking Dead. I quite enjoyed that, actually.
The last episode was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting because Ryan has been saying how it stinks.
Oh, no, it's just slow. It's really slow.
He said it started off really horrible, but it ended well, right?
Well,
that kind
I like that.
It kind of ramped up.
Yeah, and I like that because we actually got to see the sort of slow burn of the zombie apocalypse starting and then happening and then people still being in denial. Whereas in the main series, Rick wakes up out of the coma and everybody else has been dealing with this for at least a month, right? So there was a little bit of that sort of not wanting to kill zombies because they might still be okay. But we actually got to see society collapse a little bit in that. And I think the sort of slow burn at the beginning kind of served the story that way.
I was just seeing the interesting ideas about people not wanting to actually take action, where in The Walking Dead, they have to take action. They don't have a choice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And society has fallen by that point. Like there's very little hope that it's going to right itself. What else? Mm. Strain, actually. I've been catching up on The Strain.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Yeah,
I love The Strain.
Yeah, Ryan talks about that show.
I had a couple of friends on that, actually, although they're both dead now, so they're no longer on the show.
Their characters are dead.
Yeah.
Right, not the actors.
I was like, oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm friends with Robert Mallet, who played the original Master, who was like the giant of the Master. So,
yeah.
He has moved on to a new body, and Robert has moved on to a new job. So I understand that, according to Facebook anyway, he bears no ill will towards the new Master.
That's good. So do you ever get any chance to get any gaming in, or are you much of a gamer, Mark?
You know, I have games waiting for me to play, and there's, like, still in the plastic. I've got my Xbox One waiting to be hooked up and played with, but I've been so busy that the games that I've mostly been playing is stuff that I can play on my iPad. when I'm on the move.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been loving the Telltale games.
Oh, yes.
Both of the Walking Dead seasons were great. I love the Fables one. I'm just getting caught up on the Game of Thrones one now. But I kind of don't want to get caught up on Game of Thrones because then I'll have to wait for the final chapters.
Right.
There you go.
Dude, up till now, I've restrained myself. I've waited until the entire game is out before playing it, but I just couldn't wait with the Game of Thrones. So yeah. Got into there. I'll be like everybody else, waiting a few months for the last chapters to come out.
Waiting and waiting.
I did pick up my comics this week, and I was very happy to see that the new issue of Secret Wars was out finally.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't caught any of the Secret Wars yet.
I've been digging it. I've always loved alternate universe stuff, and so it's just kind of really fun mashup, salute, tribute, what have you.
Right.
I guess we'll see what happens when the dust settles and the new Marvel universe with the. I know they're going to be integrating characters from the Ultimate Universe into the main continuity, and Old Man Logan, I think, is coming into the main continuity as well.
Yeah.
And
that'll be cool.
So we'll see. I'll be interested. It's the first time that Marvel's kind of done this sort of reboot. So unlike DC, that has had
so
many.
Seems like a DC thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. You say you reboot, and everybody's like, "Oh, what? Which one for DC?" And you're like, "Oh, no, this one's for Marvel." And everybody's like scratching their head.
Yeah. I am liking Secret Wars a lot more than I liked the DC version that happened this earlier this year.
Yeah,
the convergence or whatever it was.
It just all seemed to happen so quickly, and you know, it sort of promised like we'd get a little bit more of the Flashpoint.
It happened so quickly after they just started the New 52. Granted, it's been a couple of years since they started the New 52, But it's just like, it's already been a couple of years, and you want to start over all over again with new stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're kind of flailing in the deep end.
That's how I feel about it, Ryan. It seems like they're not sure what to do, so they're trying so many different things until something sticks to the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
There are no bad ideas, people. Just stick it on the group.
That's right.
Just stick it on the whiteboard.
I don't know. Speaking for myself, if they just went back to publishing in the pre-Flashpoint continuity, I'd be just as happy. I'd probably buy more DC books.
Yeah.
I think that's when that was their when they had the most fans. So
I think that's kind of what's weird about what DC's doing is because now this new universe, they're like, okay, well, everything is canon. Everything, you know, so there's no continuity. I mean, everything's continuity, and so. You know, they're going to have their regular series, but then they're also going to have like these one-shot series that are going to be pulling in from like the pre-Flashpoint, and they're going to run that, but that's not necessarily going to be directly connected to the actual Batman series that's going on right now, but we're still telling this story because it's a good story. So it's really confusing.
I'm behind that. Like, I don't necessarily need everything to be have any good continuity, but
You know, so that's kind of what they're like. Hey, if it's a good story, we're going to tell it, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the actual continuity that's in the main series, but we're still going to put this other series out because it's a good story.
I'm all right with that.
So we'll see what happens.
Wait and see. That's what I say.
Yeah,
until
wait
they decide
see.
To reboot again.
That's right.
Actually, a comic that came out this week that I was very happy with was not quite the end of the Goon, but it's sort of like the wrapping up of the current incarnation of the Goon from Dark Horse, which I quite enjoy Eric Powell's stuff. And I'm looking forward to what comes next.
Sorry, I'm laughing at Ryan because all of a sudden I see this furry little bum going across the screen with the tail.
Oh, look, it's a tail. Random.
Ryan, what did you
do? My cat is a jerk. He'll try and push my microphone off the table.
it's not a glass of water in it. Why would he do that?
It's pretty heavy, though, so it's not going anywhere.
That's right.
I finished reading The Martian.
Oh, cool.
That book
like
is so awesome. I can't wait to see the movie.
And movie is doing really great.
I hear the movie's doing really good. A lot of people, a lot of critics love it. But the book is just, like, amazing. The characters are all really well fleshed out. The main character, Mart Watney, is, like, he's funny. He's down to earth. He's, like, a mad scientist genius type of guy. And it's just amazing. And this is Andy Weir is the author. This is his first novel. His first novel.
Yeah.
And it's already been made into a movie.
Yep.
And so,
He's sitting pretty, Ben.
I mean, I hope he continues to write because it's really amazing. So.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Loved it. I finished it in like a week, which is a record for me for fiction. I'm not known for my fiction reading.
Right. Yeah. Reading.
I always read nonfiction, but it's probably one where when a person could read it again and enjoy it just as much, even though they know the outcome. That's one of those books. That's it. Been working in the shop making people props.
Did you finish sword the sword?
Coming.
Sword's not done. It needs paint.
Oh okay. So it's 98%.
It's almost done. And I've got a helmet in the works. It's Orion from DC Comics.
Nice.
Orion is the son of Darkseid.
He's one of the new guys. Measurements?
This is actually the same guy that I did the Owlman helmet for.
Very cool.
Oh, so you already have it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and I can actually improve on it. So.
Cool.
And what else?
All right.
That's pretty much it. No, I've been helping my son play his quests that he can't complete. But that's about it.
So you're assisting.
I try not to assist my son too much because if I do, he ends up complaining that I helped him finish a quest. So I'm like, you know what?
Oh.
If you're going to complain about me helping you, no, I'm not going to help you anymore.
No, my son doesn't do that. He does his best to do it on his own. And when he dies like 100 times and all his gear is broken, then he'll come and get me.
Sad. And cute.
Oh, your gear is broken. Cute.
That's it for me.
That's right.
It doesn't work like that.
Cool. Let's see. Well, I started Flash Season 1 on Netflix.
Woo-hoo. So good.
That's how far
behind
I am.
So good. Hey, well, when you don't pay for TV.
I don't have TV. I don't have Hulu or Amazon. I just have Netflix. And so when it comes on Netflix, that's when I watch things.
Sure.
But
my wife binge watch it.
That's right. And my wife is watching it with me, and she actually really enjoys it too, which is nice because we haven't had like a superhero show that we both like at the same time. So it's nice to sit down and watch that with her. And so I'll be watching, you know, the new season of Arrow season 3 and Gotham season 1. All by myself. But, I have a business trip coming up, so I'll try to cram a lot of that.
Binge watch.
There you go.
That's right. But no, I of course I got some of my gaming in. But most super fun for me is I streamed for the first time playing, you know, on Twitch on Wednesday. Thursday. It was Thursday. I played Heroes of the Storm, of course, because that's my go-to game. I love playing Heroes of the Storm. And, so I just had fun. I played about 5 matches, won 3 of them, lost a couple. But I was always surprised when, you know, people were actually watching me play and then actually commenting.
I have followers.
Yeah,
like,
they're watching.
Wow, you stink. I can't believe you went top row instead of bottom.
No, it's all positive. No, it was nice because it's my very first time streaming, so I was like tweaking my sound and getting all right. And there was one person in the chat that was very helpful, like that I kept like, "How's it now?" And they're like, "Oh, maybe a little bit here and a little bit there." And so I worked it out, and it was lots of fun. Of course, you know, I love playing Heroes, but I was really surprised how enjoyable streaming a game was because I was very talkative, you know, talking about what I was doing, the things I decided to do, and answering the questions and talking to people in chat. It was super fun, and I had a great time doing it. Like, I want to do this again. And so hopefully that will be a thing. I don't have a set schedule because I don't think I'll be able to have one to stream. But Mike has talked about possibly streaming some Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
and now we're going to start
together.
Streaming.
So
yeah, we're going to start streaming. Our show, The Closet Geek, usually on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Yes, this is our first broadcast on Twitch.
Yes, first time on Twitch with the Closet Geek podcast. And so thank you for everybody that's in the chat room. And awesome. Appreciate it. And Ryan's Cuckoo Clock.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah. Brought to you
Cuckoo
by...
Germany.
I have one go back.
Okay.
One.
Today, I actually sat and watched, because talking about Twitch reminded me, I watched what was called Citizen Con, which is the Star Citizen's own yearly presentation that they do for the backers. And if for those of you that may not be familiar with Star Citizen, it started out as a Kickstarter from Chris Roberts, who was the man behind all of the Wing Commander.
I love
space
the Wing Commander.
So he started this Kickstarter way back in 2012, where he wanted to do another spaceflight sim because there wasn't really.
Yeah, I remember
any
that,
sim.
But I thought
right.
I didn't know it went anywhere.
Well, since then it's blown up into like $100 million of crowdfunding money.
Holy crap.
That they've. Right, so it's become pretty huge. It's on the same level.
It's like ridiculous thing.
You know, next gen AAA, but a lot of people have been complaining because it's been in development for 3 years and
when you have $100 million, you can make it really awesome, and it takes a while
to
produce something
that
awesome.
And that's kind of why they do this every once in a while, just to say, hey, this is what we're working on. This is what we're
I think people just don't understand because, you know, I interview people all the time from Kickstarter for, you know, the other show for Sweet Kicks. And some people, they just don't understand that just like you're paying to get the game started. Like what you're seeing is very raw stuff. And it's just like people, when they fund it, they're just like, oh, I expect to get it in, you know, a couple months.
This is not a pre-release order.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
It's just like, this is a video game that doesn't even have its guts yet.
Yeah.
And so it takes years to make games. I mean, Mark could probably attest to a little bit of game making with doing some of his voice acting. It's a lengthy process, is it not, Mark?
Oh, certainly. I mean, Mass Effect, for example, was released in 2007. I started working on it in 2005.
Yeah.
So
two years right there.
And that also, like, I was brought in after a lot of, you know, the story and the world creation and stuff had been done. A lot of concept art had already been done by the time I was brought on board. So, yeah, it's a process of years, and especially when you're just starting out from concept.
Definitely.
So today, as part of their Citizen Con, they released kind of a trailer, kind of a scene from the campaign portion of the game that they're working on. The campaign portion is going to be fully acted. And so the fact that we've got Mark on here talking about, you know, voice actors in video games, I felt it was very relevant. But they announced the cast that's going to be in this thing. And I'm like, okay, well, that's where all their money went. Because listen to this cast. I kid you not. They've got Gary Oldman.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money just right there.
Gary Oldman, Mark Hamill, Mark Strong, Gillian Anderson, John Rhys-Davies, Andy Serkis. And then a bunch of other people that I kind of recognize from, you know.
It almost sounds like a mini series versus a video
game. It's
going
to be, I mean, they're seriously turning this whole thing. It's going to have like this very like Battlestar Galactica feel to it. And they say that all of the characters, I mean, they're all fully motion captured. And it's going to be completely interactive where like you as the character will be able to completely interact with all of these characters. It's not just going to be watching a cutscene, for example. You're going to be able to go and have conversations with these characters but it's like, it was crazy when they kept rolling these names. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I know where all their money went. I was really excited because it's going to be pretty awesome.
That's cool.
So anyway, sweet. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, well, let's
John had to have a geek out moment. It's okay.
That's right.
Wave your geek flag proudly.
That's right. Let us go to the next segment of the show.
The Weekly Geek.
This is the Weekly Geek, where we generally talk about geeky news, and we will talk about some geeky news stuff that we like to talk about. But since we have the wonderful Mark Muir here tonight, we're going to have fun talking to him and maybe bring up some things that are going on in the voice acting community right now. I'm sure that Mark has had people, a lot of people, talk to him about the strike going on right now. Correct, Mark?
Yeah, well, that's, of course, for members of the Screen Actors Guild who live in the States. I live in Canada myself.
That's right. So,
and
so are you not really involved with that then?
No, not particularly. But I, of course, have many friends who are SAG members, and of course, I support them. I mean, Jennifer Hale, Steve Bloom.
Yeah, Jennifer Hale. She's
all good friends of mine. So yeah, definitely support them. I don't believe they've gone on strike. I might be wrong on this, but I don't think
they've
approved strike action, and so
right. Yes. That's right.
Table, that will be on the table, as they say.
Yeah.
So you said, you know, not being an American citizen, you know, you're not a member of the Screen Actors Guild, but are you unionized up in Canada? Do you have the equivalent of that?
Yeah, there's ACTRA up here, and then there's I'm a member of Actors Equity, which is like for stage actors.
Yeah, Equity. Yeah, like all the Broadway people are on Equity.
Yeah,
and then
it's again, if there's Canadian Actors Equity and American, and it's and then of course British. They're, each country sort of has its own, even if they're all under the Equity banner. I guess ultimately, the fans thus far have been very supportive of the voice actors and whatnot. There was even a hashtag that was going around, performance matters.
And, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so with that, I mean, is maybe you can kind of enlighten some of the stories maybe that you've a lot of what the actors are fighting for is like the really long hours of doing like a strenuous type voice what they're saying is they only want like 2 hours now for, you know, if you're doing a strenuous voice and then take a break. You talk about being with your show you're doing now, 12 to 14 hours. Were your voice acting hours like that as well?
Oh, no. They keep the sessions short, BioWare does anyway, because they don't want your voice to get tired and they don't want you to sound different at the beginning of a session than you do at the end. And sessions were never more than 4 hours, and there would be breaks in between. And, of course, you're also hydrating yourself and whatnot. So, So I know that the strike action in the United States also dealt with mocap for video games, and those sessions can be quite long as well and very tiring and very physically So I can understand why folks want a little more protection built in for that sort of thing. Myself, I never really had too much strenuous stuff to deal with. And again, we kept the sessions to 4 hours. Stuff like the Vorcha was fairly strenuous, but we would tend to save that for the end of a day.
There you go.
And then I could screech and yell to my heart's content.
Awesome. Oh, that's really cool. But, and I guess one of the other things that was brought up with the whole voice acting getting paid for the amount of games that are being sold because they're not getting those bonuses that other people are getting, like per million copies of, like, you know, of Halo or something like that coming out. And the voice actors weren't getting bonuses, although some of the other people involved with making the game were. I wasn't sure exactly how that worked, but is that something that you're familiar with, Mark?
I knew that was, one of the bones of contention, and I guess they'll be sorting that out through mediation and whatnot. It's not currently policy, as far as I know, but this whole idea of, like, royalties as well, like, there are if you act in a commercial, you'll get certain royalties whenever it's played. Yeah. Obviously, you're not going to be able to get royalties every time a video game is played because it's hard to track.
Yeah,
you can't track
Boom,
that.
Boom, instant billionaire.
That's right.
I will have one penny for every... Yeah, so...
That's about all you would need.
Yeah. And... So yeah, so it's an interesting thing, and of course it's like new technologies and new media. That this is the rules that were written were of course written decades ago, and they didn't take modern technology into consideration because they couldn't, because they did not have a crystal ball. As new technology comes up, I assume that we'll just see this in the future as well. As new technology comes up and new forms of media, then you're going to see contracts get renegotiated and. The way that people get compensated get renegotiated as well. I mean, the music industry is sort of facing the same thing. Like, it's undergone a huge revolution, and people figuring out how to monetize it or how to still make a buck is part of the challenge.
Yeah,
definitely. So, with some of the new tech coming out, have you been able to do any of like the motion capture or anything, or have you just done strictly voice?
I haven't done much motion capture. Now we get into NDA territory. There's some stuff I can't talk about.
I was actually going to ask something you probably can't answer.
About the
technology is always pushing forward, and yeah, so.
So I have.
I work for NASA. I'm sure you understand.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'm a huge BioWare fan. I think I've played like almost every game they've made, and so I've pretty much played every. So you are practically in almost every BioWare game that has ever been made. How did that
to some extent?
Yeah. So how did that happen that you became like BioWare's go-to guy?
Well, I was lucky enough to get in on the ground floor with BioWare, essentially, because, you know, I'm from Edmonton. I still live in Edmonton, and BioWare was started in Edmonton and still has their founding office here. So I basically was fortunate enough to get in at a time where they were still having general auditions. And some friends of mine did a game, one of their very early games called MDK2.
MDK, yes.
Yeah.
They were all improvisers and comedians like myself, members of local troops called Atomic Improv and Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. And I was buddies with all of them. And I like video games. I was like the biggest nerd around in my circle of friends. And so I was just like, oh God, if they ever, do auditions for video games, I got to know about it. And my friend Shauna Perry, she let me know when they were having some auditions just at a studio near the theater where I work, actually. And I went in for an audition and got cast for a single line in the final cutscene of Baldur's Gate 2. So you have to beat the entire game even to see my one line. But they must have liked that line well enough because they kept calling me back for stuff. And at the time, of course, they were working on the Baldur's Gate games and later Neverwinter Nights. And I was a Dungeons & Dragons player. So the fact that there was a real shorthand, like they could bring me, put me into the booth and just say, this is a chaotic evil kobold shaman. And I wouldn't ask what's chaotic evil or what's a kobold or what's a shaman. I don't know.
Like, right.
Although I should mention most kobolds are lawful evil, I think. But at least the second
that is true.
Standard. You're like, I think there's a discrepancy here.
he was a unique. I mean, but anyway.
There you go.
Yeah, so there was that shorthand. I was available and I lived in town, so they could call me in for pickups and things like that quite easily. So that's how I sort of developed a working relationship with BioWare, and so. Subsequent to Baldur's Gate 2, I did sort of both Throne of Baal and Shadows of Om, and did the Neverwinter Nights stuff with them as well, and Kingmaker. Did demo work with them on Knights of the Old Republic, the original one. I was actually the demo Karth Anansi.
Yeah, I noticed that you did the Karth for the demo. But then you weren't actually Karth in the
actual game. Guess who was Karth in the actual game? Raphael Sparge, who plays Caden.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I kid him that in Revenge for that, I killed him.
Oh.
That's why Caden got the bomb in my games.
There you go.
Well, they also added a bunch of like devils for imperial officers and things like that. And did stuff on Jade Empire. Did a number of like villain characters and whatnot. And so by the time Mass Effect rolled around, I was actually working on the game before I was cast as Commander Shepard. I was brought in the very early stages to develop how various alien races would sound and do a presentation that, the actors would end up playing these guys could use as a guideline. So what does a baseline Salarian sound like? What does a baseline Krogan sound like? And some stuff was obvious, like the Krogan are going to be big and gruff, obviously, just because of the way they're built. There was some stuff that got thrown out too. Like, I originally had proposed that Turians sort of talk with a clicking sound because of just the way their mouths are shaped.
I thought that
was interesting. And, that was abandoned after Garrus became a main character because they thought, given the amount of dialogue that Garrus was going to have,
it
was just a bit distracting after a while. But, I'm the reason that the Volus have that sort of like, wheeze when they talk, and I'm the reason that the Salarians all kind of sound like Steve Buscemi, and there's certain alien races that I just play all of, like I play all of the Vorcha, all of the Hanar, including Blasto, during that process I was asked to audition for Commander Shepard, and I never thought that I would get it in a million years. But I kept getting callbacks, and then I heard it was down to three guys, like me and two guys from L.A., and it was like, well, obviously one of them will get it, and I'll play a bunch of aliens, and that'll be fine. But then I was informed that I got the part of Commander Shepard, and I got to be a bunch of aliens, so it all worked out well for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's awesome.
All right, so
run out of questions?
We have a I was pulling up the show notes and everything. So what would be your dream voice job? Like, what is something that you've always like either a game or something that you've wanted to do as a voice actor?
Well, I mean, I've always been a huge Doctor Doom fan, and sometimes he's been translated better than others. You know, he's. No offense to any of the actors who have played him, but I've yet to see a Doctor Doom on a movie screen that I just go, that's Doctor Doom. And there seems to be a real hesitancy to sort of, portray the more, I guess, bombastic or flamboyant supervillain aspects of his kid, like, army of robots that look like him. He's the king of his own country. But that's what I want. That's what I want to see the classic Doom. I think it was actually... It was Peyton Reed, the guy who ended up directing Ant-Man that came out this summer. And he apparently, I don't know, this might be apocryphal, but he apparently had a pitch in for his version of a Fantastic Four movie. This was like with the one that Tim Story ended up doing eventually, like the first round. And so he was in the running.
Okay.
His pitch sounded really interesting. He wanted to do it as a period piece in the 1960s. And sort of do it like Hard Day's Night, like the Beatles movie, where it's like you see their origin just like in like newspapers and flashbacks and things like that. Yeah. And it's mostly reporters chasing them around. And I thought that would have been a really cool way to do Fantastic Four. It would be like, a superhero movie meets Mad Men, that era.
Right.
And I think in that era, you could really portray Doctor Doom as he appeared in the comics,
Yeah,
just,
I agree.
Archetypical supervillain. Getting a chance to play Doctor Doom would be my dream voice job, whether in a game or a cartoon voiceover or whatnot. But I mentioned earlier, I do kind of get to play Doctor Doom because we've got Dr. Von Chaos on our show. And he's kind of a bargain basement Doctor Doom, admittedly.
Kind of a thrift store Doctor Doom.
Thrift store Doctor Doom, yes. Yeah, at best.
No, that's really cool. So there, like you said,
a voice actor.
No, I'm not. But it's something that, I've thought would be fun to do or that other people that I know would be interested in doing. So what would be your tips for people that are interested in doing voice acting and how would they go about like actually becoming one? Like, do they post open auditions or you know, like, hey, we're looking for someone
well,
that can talk like a duck or something like that. How does it work?
They did it, well, BioWare did in the 90s. So that's my advice. Get in on the ground floor with BioWare in the early 90s like I did.
Okay.
Well, I guess it was
so let's
go back in time.
Go back in time when it's a little bit easier.
Activate your time belt. And,
that's right.
There you go.
But yeah, that's I'm probably the worst person to ask because I developed an early working relationship. Do a good audition once and have them hire you again and again. I am not the guy that has like, oh yes, I did my demo and I had that. You know, I didn't even bother putting a demo together until I had a bunch of stuff from Mass Effect that it was just like, oh, can we just grab some stuff from the game.
So. Mark, did you have stage experience for acting before you got into voice acting?
Yes, that's actually how I got my start, was stage improv especially. And that, actually, that's a bit of advice that I could give to people. The lessons that improv teaches you can be applied to almost any branch of acting, and especially to voice acting, because a lot of the time you're going in with a cold read. You won't have seen the script beforehand, especially with video games. And yeah. So you have to be able to just jump right into the character. You may or may not have the other performances of your fellow actors in the scene. So improv really does teach you how to be in the moment and assume the character instantly and deliver a good cold read. So take some improv classes. There you go. There's usually a local improv place you can take classes at. So that's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone wants to be a voice actor, I always tell them, well, the first step is to be an actor. And then the second step is to book a voice gig. And then all of a sudden you're a voice actor. So
you're not a voice impersonator. You're an actor that happens to do voices for animated or, you know, characters. So
ideally, yeah, that's what it should be.
So it was interesting because I actually came across D. Bradley Baker has a website blog type thing where he does, you know, basically this is how you become a voice actor. And he is a, you know, huge voice actor in the, you know, in everything. And he talks about like, okay, well, first start reading out loud. He's like, can you read a whole chapter of a book out loud without, like, you know, wanting to die because you're talking too much or something? basically, he's like, you know, he's like, start reading out loud and train your voice because he's like, if you can't make it, you know, reading a book, then he's like, voice acting is going to be a lot harder than you think it's going to be. And I just thought that was funny because right now I'm actually reading Harry Potter, the first book, to my kids out loud, and it's hard. Well, I mean, I'm reading it, but the hard thing is like trying to come up with voices for all the different characters, and I'm like, and this is a book. It's not like I'm doing a single voice for an animation, you know. I'm doing like 30 different or plus different tried voices, and I always find myself, I'm like, wait, this sounds exactly like the same character I just did 10 minutes ago.
All my characters are Russian.
I certainly hope that all the Harry Potter characters you do have appropriate regional British dialects.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
because his British accent is awesome.
Yeah, it totally is.
That character is Welsh. Just get it right.
Or Irish. So, but no, it's tough, and I just had to give props to Mark and other voice actors out there, just being able to create the character voice for somebody and then stick, you know, being able to do that consecutively and have good continuity with it. It's hard work, and so I just wanted to give you props with that. You know, my reading of Harry Potter made me realize, like, oh man.
So
I stink.
So, Mark, what kind of direction do you get when you're doing voices? Do they tell you are they very specific, or do they say just go with the flow, or how does that work?
With Mass Effect, yeah, it was quite specific, and they were looking for specific things and scenes. And I had a great director that I worked with, directors, I should say, Caroline Livingstone, Shauna Perry on the first game. Also, Suzanne Hunka came in on game three along with Caroline. So, yeah, you really rely on your directors to give you context for the scene, because you're not getting an entire script. You're sort of getting your lines, and right. Sometimes you'll have the pre-recorded lines of the other actors. But for context and like what just happened, what's happening next, where are you in the game, what are the possibilities of this scene, which ways could these scenes go, that's what you really rely on your director for. And so, yeah, they're absolutely vital. And I had the advantage of, because I was doing the bulk of my recording in Edmonton, I did a couple of sessions in Los Angeles and in London as well, but that's just because I happened to be there at the time they needed to grab it. We'd have the writers in as well. It made it a little easier for my sessions in Edmonton because they could actually physically be there, but sometimes they would Skype in to sessions elsewhere as well. And so, sometimes they would also let us, you know, you wouldn't be rewriting plot points, but you might say, could I say the line this way? It's a little bit of a mouthful the way it's written. This is a little more streamlined, more like someone would talk. And they were totally great with that. We rely on them and the directors to give us context.
That's cool. So we actually had a question from the chat, as this is kind of for everyone. They want to know if we're excited to hear the Fallout 4 voiced protagonists.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, me especially, because my friend Courtney is actually doing the female protagonist. She played Jack. Courtney Taylor, she played Jack in 2 and 3.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
All right.
That's sweet.
I didn't see who was announced.
I didn't either.
So, unfortunately, I can't tell you how excited I am, other than
Where's the list? What's the list?
Yeah.
Google the list.
Thanks for asking this further question. That's great.
Yeah. And it's just interesting. I'm excited for voice acting in any game nowadays because, like Mark said, the technology is changing, and the way that acting in video games, it's really like making a movie nowadays, where they do, like, even with the motion, doing the motion capture now, and they're doing full acting. I mean, like we see in Halo, the new Halo coming out, you have like Nathan Fillion in the game.
Yes.
That looks and sounds like Nathan Fillion, and that's super cool because he's awesome.
And he's also from Canada, right? Edmonton?
Yeah,
he's actually, he's from my city, and he's alumni of my theater company. He actually helped us raise quite a bit of funds for renovating
the new theater.
So are you friends with him?
Yeah, I saw him a couple of weeks ago, actually.
You haven't seen his,
that's so
you haven't
cool.
seen his lightsaber battle thing?
Oh,
I missed it.
That's so great.
I'll find that
from,
picture.
I was like, wasn't there a project with you, Nathan Fillion, and William Shatner? Or was that just a Photoshop? I couldn't tell.
That was a photo. I saw that on Twitter. That was, I believe, Gary Scullion from Sneaky Zebra over in the UK.
Okay.
I think I retweeted that, actually.
I saw that, and I was like, that would be epic.
Oh, sure. Hey, man. I'll be in a movie with William Shatner and Nathan any day, sure.
There
I think
that's right.
I might have a bit more trouble signing the two of them, but
maybe you could put a good word in for us and see if you'll come on our show.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sure. I got him on,
Nathan,
I'll get
to come on our show.
Later. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But the lightsaber thing that you guys are referring to, that was from November, actually. My wife Belinda and I stayed at Nathan's house because we went to L.A. for Halloween, and he was very kind enough to have a little lightsaber battle with me. He had a lightsaber there for me. He had, you know, I usually fight Sith, and luckily he had a red saber.
Oh, there you go.
I don't do anything but Sith, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, you mentioned Belinda, and I was wondering, do you love to be able to work with Belinda on different shows and projects? Because I know you've voiced in the same games before, but is it awesome to work with her on Tiny Plastic Men?
Yes, it is. As I say, we've both been working on it this week. And
you better say yes.
Oh, no.
In the room.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
yeah, it's fantastic. we've of course worked together on stage quite a bit. I've been in plays that she has written. We improvised together in Dynasty, the live improvised soap opera, which is a weekly show here in Edmonton, which we sort of change up the setting every season. So last season was Vikings, which was awesome.
I saw your beard. It was very cool.
The season before that was Downton Abbey, and I think we're doing Pips in the 1920s for this season.
There you go. Sweet.
And, of course, Belinda's on Tiny Plastic Men as well. And we're doing one of our first cons together, actually, at the end of the month in Daytona Beach.
Nice. Fantastic.
Nice. Cool.
That's great.
And she, of course, has been in all the Mass Effect games, and actually she gets much larger roles than me in the Dragon Age games because she is British and has an authentic British accent.
Right.
I did notice that she's done the Dragon Age
games. Real well.
And she did Witcher 3 as well, I saw.
She wasn't in the game itself. She was in we were just mentioning Sneaky Zebra. Sneaky Zebra did something for the game.
Okay.
Which was a live-action sort of Witcher short, and Belinda provided the voice of Yennefer in that.
Oh, okay. Because I saw that in her IMDb, and I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. So talking about movies, you said you love to do movies. Is that something that you're wanting to, like, are you working on trying to break into the whole Hollywood scene, or maybe movies up in Canada, or how – is that something that you really want to do in the future?
Well, I do have my hands full doing a TV show and a radio show and video games and stuff like that. So yeah, when I get offered film roles, I certainly do them. I just did a movie with Jewel State, as a matter of fact. From Firefly, of course, and Sean Roberts, who you may know from the Resident Evil movies. He was Wesker in those. This was a nice romantic comedy called 40 Below and Falling. And I actually play Jules' fiance in that. And, given that that the romantic leads of this movie are Jules State and Sean Roberts, maybe we'll figure out how things work out for my character.
Right.
I wanna, no spoilers, awesome. Though. No spoilers. It's actually,
of course.
It's the film festival rounds right now, and it was actually shot in 3D.
Oh, interesting. Cool. Well, that just barely came out then, right? Yeah, this year.
Yeah, that's right. It was it was just at the Edmonton Film Festival and the Calgary Film Festival this month.
Oh wow!
Sweet.
Yeah.
So I have. Can you? I don't know. You may not be able to confirm or deny, but have you been asked to work on Mass Effect Andromeda?
I can neither confirm or deny.
NDA.
That's to get anybody's hopes up. So. Do keep in mind that BioWare has gone on record as saying Shepard's story ended in Mass Effect 3, and this is like the same universe, but it's a new era,
right.
And a new game.
Now, yeah, granted, I understand you wouldn't be as Shepard. However, they've got to bring you back.
you're the go-to guy. Right.
There's some alien races that I'm all of, so hopefully some of those
that's
aliens.
Right.
There you go.
I could not possibly say anything at this stage, but I can talk about Dragon Age Inquisition. That's out now.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
And so
Baldur's Gate?
Baldur's Gate, yeah, that's
been
announced.
New edition.
Dragonspear, which is, it's great, actually, because as I mentioned, Baldur's Gate stuff was some of my very earliest voice work.
Yeah.
And so now there's an all-new Baldur's Gate game, and for fans of the old games, you may know that there's a company called Beamdog that recently put out the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Editions, which were great. Like, they had, you know, everything the old games had, plus all the DLC, plus all this new stuff available for the price of an app. So just hours and hours of gaming.
Right.
And I got to play a couple of new characters in that. I played, you know, in Dragonspear, I probably played 24 characters. But there's a couple of main ones, party members, Rasad, the monk, and Baloth, the drow sorcerer, who I have a lot of fun with.
Oh, yeah.
He was, of course, was a bad guy in the Black Pit.
You cosplayed as that at
cosplayed
the contest, right?
Yeah. The Edmonton Expo, Comic Expo, just happened, and I had a great time with that. One of the highlights was getting to host the costume contest as Baloth. And,
I was going to say, you know, cosplaying as Baloth and being the voice of Baloth, it must have been pretty epic to pull that off.
Oh yeah, yeah. And definitely. we had lots of help. We had Nat Jones, who of course did art on direction on the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Editions and on Dragon's Spear. He had his Baeloth concept art, and he worked with another friend of ours, Travis Shuchuk, and they built Baeloth's staff. And we also had Prudence Olnick, who's a great makeup artist here in town, and she worked on some TV shows with me as well. And she came to the expo and put me into full prosthetic ears and the drow makeup and the wig and the whole bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very it was a very professional job. I didn't have to do my own makeup in the bathroom or anything.
Yeah,
I've had to do that at cons, but this was getting pampered and put into cosplay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right.
Oh.
Well, before our show goes way too long, we got it.
I just wanted to ask one more question because I know.
One more.
I wasn't sure if you can talk about one of your projects that you might be working on now, which is The Long Dark.
I can talk about. Yes.
Okay, because I'm like, did you have a question, John? I was like,
no, I mean, that Long Dark's already out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is out. It's basically an alpha still on Steam.
Oh, okay. So it's early access. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. We have, I believe it's a over that by now. The last I heard, and this was a few months ago, was 250,000 players. And people are really loving it just in the sandbox stage. But there will be a story mode eventually. And I, of course, play the protagonist, Will McKenzie, who is a bush pilot who's above the Canadian North when a geomagnetic event knocks out all electricity on Earth. He crashes in the Canadian North, and you basically just try to survive. I've actually heard it described as player versus Canada.
Yeah, it's like a survivor thriller game.
Well, basically, you cannot survive. It's just a game about how long you can live.
How long you can live.
Before you die.
Before you die.
Yeah. I do know that there was one guy who lived, he got over a year in-game, I think. He's probably dead by now. This was, again, months ago. But, he logged over a year of surviving in-game.
Is his name Mark Watney?
I'm not sure.
That's from The Martian.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I got it.
You got it.
I missed it. But for that project, how long did that take for you to do all the voice acting? Because I know you said you had worked 2 years on the Mass Effect games. Was this about the same timeline?
Well, we're not done with it yet, of course, because they're still refining it constantly. New updates are coming all the time. Mm-hmm. I know they a few months ago they put in bears. Bears were the new threat. They could another way to die.
Great. Yeah. Starvation
the
wasn't not enough.
Starvation wasn't enough.
Yeah, right.
And they're always updating, like, the crafting system, and just the sheer size of the world is always getting bigger and bigger. So we'll be doing the bulk of our voice recording soon, I think. So the story mode is coming along. And the stuff that I've actually done so far is largely the stuff that you actually hear in the game, which is prompts. Because unlike a lot of games, there is no heads-up display saying that, you know, your body temperature is this, or you're hungry, or you're tired. Mm-hmm. It's all just vocal prompts from me as the main character. And also Jennifer Hale, I should mention, because in the sandbox mode anyway, you can also play as a lady. And just like in Mass Effect, you can be me or Jennifer.
That's
Very nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, now, let's go to Geeky Trivia! All right, Mark, how Geeky Trivia works is it's kind of chaotic. John
like
is in charge
podcast.
Of...
Yeah, like
that's
the rest,
like
of,
the rest of it. We're totally pros. But John is in charge tonight with Geeky Trivia, so he will be asking us questions, and then it's kind of like, who is the quickest to answer, and you will get that point.
Do you buzz in?
You just scream at him.
Scream the answer. Just yell the answer.
Scream
the answer.
Since John is doing it, John is judge, and he will say who answered first or if there was a tie. All right.
Oh, no.
John
I promise nothing.
We have... All right, good. Just
I would random. Like some Bronze Age Marvel Comics questions, please.
you may get... You, yeah, okay. Well, the first question.
Okay.
Kryptonite was introduced to the Superman universe in order to do what?
I got it.
Hey, Mark.
It was introduced, basically. so that he could be weakened because he had no weaknesses at the time. And it was introduced, I believe, on the radio show before it was introduced into the comics.
That is so correct.
I told you he knows like, comics.
That's so correct on many levels.
You should get an extra point for knowing
like extra 5 points for even knowing the history behind why. That's
awesome.
Exactly correct. During the radio show, they were like, okay, how are we going to give the guy that does the voice of Superman a break? Because he's always in every show, so he needs a break. He needs to go on vacation or whatever. So they came up with Kryptonite, which weakened him to the point where he couldn't really speak. And so they allowed other people to just do like mumbles, and grunting, you know, it's like, you know, for like a while so that the guy that actually did the voice of Superman could take a break. That's why Kryptonite was introduced. All right.
Yeah, cool. The guy wants to go to the Catskills or something.
Yeah. All right. According to Forbes magazine, the richest fictional character is who?
T'Challa.
Black Panther.
T'Challa. Black Panther.
T'Challa.
I was saying T'Challa.
I thought you were stuttering.
The king of Wakanda.
Because of all the vibranium.
All right. That is
vibranium. Yes.
That is incorrect.
Captain America.
What?
Oh, wait, is it Scrooge McDuck?
Scrooge McDuck is correct!
Yes! Oh, that makes so much sense.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, that makes so much sense. That's
funny. I was the only thinking of superhero comics for a second.
Yeah. But it's comics.
Man. His wealth is considered immeasurable, infinite.
All right.
Go swimming.
So
where does Tony Stark rank and Bruce Wayne?
Tony Stark has more than Bruce Wayne. It's like, it goes, if Scrooge is there, I don't know about other people, but in the superheroes, it's like T'Challa, Tony Stark, Bruce Wayne.
Dr. Doom's got to be up there, too.
Cord, the Blue Beetle, he's pretty rich,
Ted
too.
Cord? Really?
Yeah, but he's got continuity.
Behind, you know, then you've also had, like, Lex Luthor. You know, he's pretty rich.
Yeah, Lex Luthor's on there.
And Richie Rich.
Richie Rich. There you go.
What about, like, Smog?
Right?
Smaug.
All right. Next question. Before CGI backgrounds, filmmakers used a technique known as what?
Matte painting.
Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan got that one.
You beat me on that one.
Yeah, just by a little.
They gave a really perfect example. The final scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he's walking into the warehouse. Mm-hmm. The entire warehouse is a matte painting. The only thing that's not is just the guy walking. So what they did is they just cut out the little portion of the guy walking and then put the matte painting, and the whole thing is a matte painting. Huh.
That's awesome.
Just an example.
That's cool.
All right. next question. The non-English characters featured in the Falling Code prominent in The Matrix were what?
Ooh, ASCII?
Ooh, a lot of people expect that it's ASCII, but it's not ASCII.
Oh,
It's hexadecimal? What are those called? No.
Do you want multiple choice?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go. Sure. Knowledge. I don't know anything about applicable.
All right.
Yeah. Right? You're like.
All right. Multiple choice. Cyrillic script, Egyptian glyphs, Hebrew, or half-width kana?
Hebrew.
I'm going to say Egyptian glyphs.
I'm going to go with the first one. What was that?
I'll go with the
none
one.
None of you
that
are correct.
None of us. No one's correct.
Half-width kana.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
Half-width kana is a form of katakana. And so it's they half-width so that it could fit in a typical computer font shape. So it's called half-width because normally it's, you know, katakana.
That would make sense the way it looks the way it does.
Right.
Okay. I thought you were saying half-wit.
Half-wit.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I didn't hear the wit. Wit.
Yeah.
Wit. So
I was joking.
So, Boda the Yoda in chat says that Smaug is actually listed as number two on that Forbes article.
There you go.
Number two.
So Scrooge McDuck is still
after Scrooge McDuck
Smaug.
Is Smaug. All right.
Awesome.
Next question. The primary sound you hear in Chewbacca's voice is a what?
Walrus.
Bear.
Bear is correct.
Oh.
I'm so glad that Ryan got that question.
Yeah, I am.
That's right. Yeah. You would have never lived it down.
Like a
sure.
There you go.
That's pretty good, Barry.
That was pretty good, Barry. Yeah.
Hey.
So it is the primary sound. There are other sounds that they mix in, but the primary sound is a bear. Next question. Best known for Lord of the Rings and Game of the Thrones, Sean Bean's biggest body of work is focused on what historical era?
Richard
III? No.
Yeah.
Medieval?
Biggest
body of work.
Multiple choice. Okay.
Okay.
Ancient Egypt.
No.
The Tudor dynasty. Prohibition era New York or the Napoleonic Wars?
I'm going to go with the Tudors.
The Tudors dynasty.
Napoleonic.
Mark is correct with Napoleonic Wars. He did a huge series, British series called Sharp, and where
Oh, Sharp! I have that. It's on my. It's out in my living room.
He did it for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Where he was a British officer. Captain Sharp, and he was the Napoleonic Wars. Yep. So it's based on a novel series, but anyway. Right.
Yeah. Learn something new.
Did he die at the end of that series?
I was gonna say.
Did he die? Right.
No, it's still. I think it's still ongoing, like the novel series.
Oh geez.
Next question. The voice actor behind the iconic Sesame Street character Elmo was also the voice of what character?
Cookie Monster.
No.
Is it a Sesame Street character?
It is not a Sesame Street character.
It's not. Okay. It's I watched that documentary too.
I know.
All right. Okay. Multiple choice.
Okay.
Principal Skinner.
No.
Hank Hill.
No.
Ooh.
Master Splinter. Or Optimus Prime.
I'm gonna go with Master Splinter. That's the only one that makes sense.
I think like all three of you got that one at the same time. But yes, it was correct. Master Splinter from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
It's the only one that makes sense. But it was like,
I love that movie.
What's his name again?
I didn't write it down.
I'll just write that part down the
question.
Bam! No credit whatsoever. How awful are
That's
we?
Right.
All right. So here's that's funny. I didn't mean to do this on purpose, but the next question is: the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created by the same type of accident that created which other superhero?
Daredevil.
Daredevil is correct.
I knew that.
That's
one.
Right. A chemical spill.
In fact,
the same.
Yes, it's the exact same accident because in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic, there was also a young boy that was involved in the same accident that spilled the chemicals on the turtles.
It was a total, because
they were like completely acknowledging.
Shout out to Daredevil, right?
Daredevil. Yeah, awesome. I mean, and think about it, because Daredevil fights the ninjas called the Hand. The turtles fight the ninjas called the Foot. Daredevil's teacher is called Stick, whereas the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
is Splinter.
So it's totally this.
Wow.
They were like completely like in love with Daredevil.
Wow,
that's funny.
Put that correlation together.
Yeah. All right. Next question: which iconic sci-fi character is immortalized as a grotesque on the Washington National Cathedral?
I'm going to say Darth Vader.
What was your answer? Vader is correct.
Oh.
Yes.
Ah.
Darth Vader.
What? What?
He's a
cathedral.
He's a, the Washington National Cathedral in D.C.
Wow. Bam. Mark. Ding.
I'm not even paying attention.
Sci-fi character.
I've actually seen. And actually, we were talking about turtles. I got to meet Kevin Eastman at the Edmonton Expo a couple of weeks ago.
Nice. Oh, just a couple weeks ago. Oh, that's very cool.
Very nice guy.
Oh, man.
All right.
Mark's kicking our butt.
Yes, he is. Okay, next question. Mark Hamill auditioned for Luke Skywalker at the behest of the actor behind which horror movie character?
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger is correct.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, Robert England.
Yeah, so Robert England, they were friends.
They were friends
he was
at
like,
college or something?
Yeah,
like
they're roommates or something. And so he's like, dude, you should go and audition for this because I think you're good for it. And Mark Hamill's like, ah, I don't really? He wasn't really going to. And then, like, he pushed him, Robert Englund pushed him to do it, and the rest is history.
That's the story.
That's the story anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me get Mark on the phone and verify that.
The first cartoon character to get a star on the Walk of Fame was who?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse is correct.
Oh,
that was really fast.
Yeah, that was. I was like thinking. Anyway.
He's the most famous cartoon character in the world.
Wait, did he get his before Betty Boop?
That's a good question. Probably.
She was probably because it was back. It was back.
In the day.
I had the information.
They were colleagues from back in the day.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Next question. What popular sci-fi book began life as a radio show?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I was about to say that, too.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was initially a radio show.
And I think we've all read that, too.
Yeah. Next question. Who was the mascot for Nintendo's iconic gaming magazine, Nintendo Power?
Mario?
I know this.
Donkey Kong?
No. Nope. I know this. What's his name?
Keybert?
Nope.
No, I'm Nintendo Power magazine, right?
Nintendo Power.
The little green
it's not,
guy.
It's not Link,
little
is
green
it?
Guy. No,
what's
it's
his name?
No, it's
Kirby. I don't know.
I don't think the little green guy.
I can totally
it's not the green guy.
See the character, but I can't.
Jumpman.
Okay.
Jumpman.
The answer.
You have multiple choice, but no, just kidding. Go ahead.
No.
The answer
just give
is
the answer.
Nestor.
Whoa, that's
Nestor
not what
was
I was
just,
thinking.
He was just.
Then it probably wasn't who I was thinking
of. He was like in every single, and he was like the mascot. He was in all the. Anyway, right. It's called Nestor because, you know, the original NES
was called the NES.
It's a Japanese thing. They all love their mascots.
That's just dumb. Yep. It should have been Mario.
It should have been Mario, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All
right.
Next question. Which early video game console offered perfect arcade-to-home game ports?
ColecoVision?
No.
Television?
Okay.
The TurboGrafx-16.
Okay. I'll give you multiple choice. Okay. Atari 7800, the Sega Mega Drive, the Super Nintendo, or the Neo Geo.
Oh, Neo Geo. Okay.
Yeah, the Neo Geo is correct. It did. The Neo Geo did. Now, granted, their lineup was fairly limited.
It was, but they were really great
Neo Geo
games, and they still
are. Games. All of the Neo Geo arcade games, like Samurai Showdown and
Metal
stuff like that,
you could
play them on their home console, and it was the exact same game on the home console.
That's cool.
Yay! All right. Three entirely non-canonical Legend of Zelda games were created for which video game system?
The Sony PlayStation.
The handheld one.
Game Boy?
No,
it wasn't even a Nintendo system. It was
not a Nintendo.
No,
system.
Sega. No, the Dreamcast? No.
You probably
I don't know. What is it?
No, I know it's not a Nintendo system, but I can't remember.
It was called the Philips CDI.
I remember that.
What?
Oh my god.
I know, right?
Yeah. It was a Nintendo.
But it was a CD. It was one of the first CD-driven consoles, even before the PlayStation.
And before the TurboGrafx CD.
The TurboGrafx 16 was one of the first ones.
There were three Legend of Zelda games that were developed for this console that were not part of the actual Legend of Zelda canon. That
I believe that's where some of the animation style comes.
Yes, for the
animated series comes from that CD series for the Philips CDI. That's why I was like, I recognized it.
Okay, next question.
Okay.
Google tends the lawn of their sprawling Mountain View headquarters with what?
Keep going.
Goats is correct.
Goats.
Oh,
that's awesome.
They have a goat herd. Once a month,
hilarious.
They just let him loose on,
you know,
the hills.
That's
outside.
Funny because when we were at Fort Bragg, my wife was at the time a military veterinarian, and a lot of the patients she saw were goats, and because they had all these huge tracts of land, which all the soldiers went in and
large tracts of land,
and where they would all go and drill, right? You know, they had the tanks, they had the howitzers, they did the parachutes, but in order to control the brush, they had tons and tons of goats.
Yep, so, eat it.
So Michelle saw the goats all the time. Anyway,
that's interesting.
Next question. In addition to smoke bombs, batarangs, and grappling hooks, Batman's utility belt also contains what?
Shark spray.
I knew you were going to say that. And yes, that is true. At one point, he did actually have shark repellent in his...
I don't know, Caltrans.
Laser.
What does he always have in his utility belt?
What was that, Mark?
Like a laser...
Advil. I said bat cuffs, a laser.
An extra mask.
An extra mask. An extra pair of underwear.
Oh, actually, early in his career, he carried the gun that killed his parents.
Ooh.
That's so
interesting. That's morbid.
That's not what we're going for. The answer is a kryptonite ring.
Oh, yes.
I always have to
just
carry one
case,
of those around.
You never know,
just
right?
Just in case.
Because you never know when you have to beat down your best friend.
Keeps it in a lead pouch.
That's true. Right. Keeps it in a lead pouch in his utility belt.
It's kind of a dick move.
It is a dick move. That is so true.
But, you know, you gotta...
It would be like if you knew your friend was allergic. If you knew your friend was allergic to peanuts, would you always carry around a peanut butter sandwich?
Just like, hey, here you go.
Smack him in the face with it.
Take that!
You better do what I say.
Galactic.
All right, next question. The first comic superhero to appear on the silver screen was who?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel is correct.
Thank you.
Damn. That's a good one. That's awesome.
All right.
Or Shazam, as he is known these days.
Otherwise known as Shazam.
All right, next question. Which author was forced to bring one of his beloved characters back to life after years of public...
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Sir Conan Doyle is correct.
Who did he bring back?
In one of
Sherlock.
In one of his final novels...
Shakespeare, too.
In one of his final novels, Sherlock and Professor Moriarty were in a fight, and they both
fell off into the waterfall.
Right.
And they both died.
Right.
But after years of public pressure, he finally came out with another novel that brought Sherlock back.
I read like four of the Arthur Conan Doyle novels with Sherlock, and after the fourth one, it was just like, they're all redundant.
All the same.
Yeah.
Same story.
Yeah. So I didn't get through his whole bibliography.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, if you like Sherlock Holmes, you'll like Scooby-Doo. It's kind of the same thing.
Those darn meddling kids. All right. Next question. Which alien makes a subtle cross-movie cameo appearance in Star Wars The Phantom Menace?
E.T.
E.T.
That's correct. Michael got it.
In the count.
They were at the council.
I've seen the screenshots, but every time I put it on my TV, I can't ever see it.
Honestly, it's the same thing with the R2-D2 in the first Star Trek remake. Second by second, I'm like, I don't know where it is. But then I see the shots, and it's like, here's the circle. And I'm like, it's not there.
All right. Final question.
Okay.
Which Harry Potter actor was told a vital piece of information about the series the first film?
The guy who played Snape, what's his name? Crap.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman is correct.
Hey, Mark said it first.
Mark said it first, so I have to give it to Snape is not correct.
For some reason, his name couldn't come to my mind.
Severus Snape.
Alan Rickman was actually told kind of like the role that Snape would have in the whole thing so that he knew how to like accurately portray his character. And he actually got access to the novels before they were developed into a screenplay so that he could completely develop his character the correct way. All right.
That means it's time.
So that is the final for Geeky Trivia, and the winner for Geeky Trivia today is Mark Meer.
I knew we were getting
kind
close.
Kind of took an early lead and never gave it back. So Mark had 8 points. Barry and Michael were tied with 4, and Ryan had 2.
4. Nice.
All right.
Doubled up.
Good job, Mark.
Thanks.
All right, sweet.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and what you're doing?
Well, you can check out Tiny Plastic Men, my comedy series, on Hulu in the United States. You can also check out my radio show, The Irrelevant Show, at cbc.ca/irrelevant show. And you can also follow me on Twitter at @Mark_Meer. I wanted just @Mark Meer, but it's some Dutch kid.
I know, right?
So it's Mark_Meer, on Twitter.
I wanted just Bricks, but it's taken up by someone else that doesn't use their account either. So, so cool. Thanks so much, Mark, for being on the show. We really appreciate the time. We know you're very busy, and thank you so much. We appreciate it. And thanks to all of our friends of the show. We have a podcast for sci-fi. Check them out. And also Alpha Geek Radio. And also go to Doghouse Systems for your PC gamer, gaming PC. And use the code CLOSGEEK for your free 120GB SSD. And use our Amazon affiliate link for all your online shopping needs. And you can find all of our other information at theclosgeek.net. Thank you for joining us this week. And we're so grateful that we're going to be start streaming live on Twitch every week too. That's going to be a thing, and we hope you spread the word and join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, and we're always reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.